You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Six months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Greg Cody, sneaky good bowler.
Yeah?
I could see Greg Cody being a very good bowler, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was a league bowler for years.
I'm sure you were.
I could the knock
twinkle
down
toes, like Fred Flintstone, right? You could see him.
You have a ball with your name on it, don't you? Don't you? You have a ball with your name on
it. One time.
Yeah, you did.
Greg, tell me more about your league bowling days. I want to hear more about this because to me it feels like Big Lebowski.
Well, this was before we had kids. The wife and I were league bowlers for years. And, you know, I think my average was in the 160s. My best game ever was 222. You know, I could string together some K's. You know, I could knock down those strikes. You know, a couple of turkeys in my career, and you know, I hate to brag, but you know, I could bowl.
Nothing like a good turkey, huh? Three straight strikes.
Oh, man. Oh. Yeah.
Turkeys even.
Turkeys? That's right.
Stugatz showing off his turkey muscle right there. Just wanted to repeat it so he could tell you that he knew what turkey meant in bowling. Tell me more, Greg, about how many beers you would drink during league play.
Well, we had beer frames. You know, there are three or four times a game we had a beer frame, and you know, if you get a strike, you know, somebody else had to buy the beer, and we bowled with our partners for years were you know, the Bitzes, and B-I-T-Z was their surname, and we were friends with them. We'd on the way to the bowling alley, we would stop at Clark's clam stand, would have some clams and some beer, would be all oiled up by the time we got to the lanes. And you know, I had a little bit of a hook in me. I would, you know, that ball would have a nice right to left curve. And, you know, I'd be right in that pocket, knocking them all down. There's no better feeling in sports than when you have that perfect strike where all 10 pins clatter and fall at the exact same time. Am I right, Amin?
That's right.
I you could definitely get an Amin on that one.
Amin.
Yeah.
Am I right? Amin is what you just made. Can I get an Amin? you just made it. Am I right, Amin? Excellent work, Greg.
Dan, I tell you now, there's nothing like getting some turkeys with the Bitzes.
Well, this is, I wanted to ask him a few more questions because he went straight into bragging. He went straight into bragging about the way that he bowls. And I had more questions about the Bitzes. I wanted to know what it is that was happening there. And furthermore, I wanted to tell the audience, your son, Christopher, has accused you of getting high with the Bitzes at this clam shack.
No, Mike and Lynn Bitz were great bowling friends of ours, bowling partners for years. But my wife and I would do the clam shack thing on our own. The two of us would have clams and beers on the way to bowling, you know, at Imperial Lanes in Dania, which is now defunct, no longer exists. But in all my Danians out there, you remember Imperial Lanes. But it was a beautiful thing. It was a ritual. It was like a pre-kids thing. And then, you know, once we had kids, you know, you don't go bowling anymore. You give up league bowling. But my best series of all time was a 605. I bowled a 605 series, which is fantastic. And I really enjoyed bowling. I love bowling to this day. I don't do it much, but when I do it, it's like a treat. It's like just something I really enjoy. And every time I bowl, I'm like, why don't I bowl more? You know,
I bowled the best game of my life on my honeymoon. My wife didn't love that.
What happened?
Why can't you bowl a good game on your honeymoon?
Well, because it was like the last night or second to last night, and there was a bowling alley at the resort we were staying at. And I'm one of those people that likes to do everything at, you know, the resorts. I want to make sure that I got the full experience. I'm like, we need to go to this bowling alley before we go. And it's like, we're in Barbados. She's like, well, we don't really need to be bowling in Barbados. And I'm like, no, but there's a bowling alley at our resort. We need to bowl at the bowling alley. We're leaving the resort tomorrow. We need to bowl before we go. So it was a rainy night, bowled a couple games. We were really one of the only people there. And there's only like four lanes. It was odd because all the other nights it was pretty busy, except this night, a magical night where I bowled the highest game I've ever bowled. And I went back to look at my pictures because I didn't want to give you guys a fake score and have you guys think, oh, wow, he's making that up. I think I missed a picture on the first game because the way I remember it, we bowled three games, but I only see scores for two games. The first game, I remember thinking, wow, this is a great game. I must have taken the picture on her phone. But I remember bowling in the 190s. Before that, my highest game, I think, was 186 that I bowled at the age of 12 when I was in a bowling league.
Wow.
So I was having a good night. I bowled a 191, I think. And I'm like, wow.
Wow.
It's a pretty good game. Should I retire from bowling? Top of the world right now. I just got married. My honeymoon, here I am in magical Barbados. I just bowled the highest game I've ever bowled. But no, Dan, I pressed my luck. And what did I bowl the next game? Good question. A 203.
Whoa.
Highest game I've ever bowled. Wow. A 203 in Barbados.
Nice.
Sandals, to be specific, if you want to go and see the scene of the crime. That's right. I bowled a 203. And then I said, you know what? I got the hot hand. I got to keep going here. What did I bowl the next game? 96.
All right. I have many questions here. What does Greg think sandals is, and what is actually sandals? Because Greg Cody just threw in a baby as if he thought sandals was some sort of swingers resort. What just happened there?
Yeah, when I think of sandals resort, it's, you know, clothing optional, you know, boom, chicka boom, you know, anything goes at sandals. And, you know, Billy and his bride are bopping around sandals, bowling, you know, anything goes. It's crazy. Baby!
They do market sandals as if, you know, all you do there when you go there is have sex. I mean, they do.
Thank you.
Yeah, they really do.
And bowl.
Yep.
Okay.
Bowling. And there's shuffleboard. That's also the shuffleboard court that was made of rubber friction that I was like, bad shuffleboard.
That's a terrible board.
Put it on the pole, Guillermo. Terrible. Are you surprised at all during a romantic honeymoon that involved many swingers that Billy would search out the bowling alley?
First of all, there was no swinging. Okay, to
there
my
is.
Knowledge.
You just don't know about it, right?
No, yeah. It is adults only, but it's mainly, you know, a couple's thing. Lots of honeymoons going on, lots of weddings. Pretty sure I saw Ben Axelrod there, but that's neither here nor there.
What?
It's another strange pull from Billy.
Sounds like dude to me.
A listener? Yeah.
Well, no. He's more than a listener.
Yeah, he's a journalist, mark. I believe.
Yeah, he's got a blue check mark. That's more than I can say about me. And even the show now, for some reason, lost its blue check mark. But Ben still has his. I think I saw him there. And then when I went back and I saw, like, on Instagram or whatever, when I came back, there were pictures of him there. We didn't talk to each other, but I'm pretty sure that he was there. I think he got married shortly before I did. Must have been his honeymoon. I wonder if he bowled. What do you think he bowled?
I'm struggling with the title of this hour. Is it The Clam Shack with the Bitses? Is it bowling and sex, or is it? I'm pretty sure I saw Ben Axelrod there.
I see what's happening here, Billy. Last
I
night,
think I did. I'm telling you,
Billy. Last night of the honeymoon, no energy left. Am I right? Give me a fist. Fist me.
Well, it wasn't. It wasn't the last night. It was the last time.
Put your hand down.
Just phrasing.
There's
by the way.
So many it was our last freckles night on there. That fist.
Wait, Chris. So you had that? You arrived at that moment with your wife during the honeymoon?
I'm saying, the last night of the honeymoon, you know, you're tired. You might want to just take a nice little bowling night.
Billy, tell me more about the annoyance of your wife.
What do you mean?
How annoyed was she by you bowling that night?
Well, you know, she didn't really want to go to the bowling alley, but it was raining. There wasn't much to do. We had already done a lot of the stuff that was there. The thing is, we had to pack because we were going the next day to another hotel because we were going to take part in crop over the next day or 2 days later. So we had to pack beforehand before we moved to the other hotel because we thought the island was bigger than it was. So I was like, well, we got to go bowling. We got to go bowling before it's done. I love a good bowling game. I love amenities. I've told you that. Sometimes I'll go to the gym on vacation just to check out the gym, see what's going on at the gym. So yeah, once we were by game two or game three, I may have been just bowling by myself. I don't remember. Does that happen to you guys sometimes where you're bowling and everyone else is like, I've had enough bowling. You're like, well, I gotta finish this game. If anybody knows one thing about me, they know this. I finish a game of bowling. Come hell or high water, I will finish a game of bowling. If we're running out of time, I'll say, you know what? Listen, buddy, you got a 63 right now. You're done for the day. We got three frames to go. You're not slowing this down, okay? One too many bathroom trips. You're not doing this anymore. We're on the clock here. I hate paying for bowling hourly.
I was just about to say, are you a per gang guy or a by the hour guy?
I mean, when you go in a group, you go by the hour, but I want to finish a game. You know, I hate unfinished games because what if that's my 204, if you know what I mean?
All right. Get your 10 frames, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
10th frame is magical. Feeling,
little bang for your buck.
The best feeling in bowling is when you line up, you're poised to throw your first shot, roll the first ball.
Yeah.
And you know everybody's looking at you, right? And they have no idea whether you suck or whether you're like a professional grade bowler. Mm-hmm. And then that first ball you throw, you put it down perfectly. And it goes, and the pins clatter. It's a beautiful strike with the first ball. That's and for right. that emerald magical second, everybody looking at you thinks that you just came off the PBA tour.
That's
and
right.
you don't this even want to throw the second ball. This you want to retire right then.
That's
you're at,
right.
You're at Davey Bowling Alley. No one thinks you're a professional.
No, people, listen.
No, you can trick people in Davey, yeah.
Greg, have you had two best feelings in bowling? Have you had, put it on the poll, Guillermo, can you trick people in Davey with your bowling? And ask as well, I'm curious because I think this just happened. I think during this segment on bowling, you gave us two best feelings in the world involving bowling. One, all 10 pins hitting the lane at the same time, and also when you get out there and no one knows whether you can bowl or not, and then you roll a strike. So which is it? Which is the better? And put that on the poll as well, Guillermo. What's the better feeling in bowling? All 10 pins clacking at the same time or going out there on your first roll when no one knows if you can play and throwing a strike?
I thought the best feeling was a 7-10 split. I mean, that's no, is well, it not?
It's so difficult to hit, though. You're hardly ever going to hit one. A great feeling, Greg. I don't know if it's the best, maybe second best, maybe third best. When you're going for a strike and somehow one of the pins click clacks off the bottom, off the side, off the top, and then hits the other one right across the other side.
Yeah.
Oh, what a rush. Yes. What markers do you stand on? What markers do you stand on, Greg, just to know?
I stand like two marks to the left.
Ooh, I go
like
one
I say,
mark.
My bowl,
I go one mark.
My ball takes that beautiful right to left curve. It's not a big hook. I'm no, you know, Mark, you know, Earl Anthony,
exactly.
Don't get me wrong, but it takes a nice, beautiful curve.
Right I stand on the exterior too, because I'm a bit taller. So sometimes when I have to go down, I don't go straight down. I have a bit of an angle at it. So for me to get the ball right in the middle, I'm not a fancy pants. I don't do the curves that much. I don't do it. Sometimes what? I'll do it. I'll get a 6-pound ball and I'll get the 6-pound ball and I can put some English on the 6-pound ball because you could just throw the 6-pound ball, but it's so light. But if I'm rolling, don't go too heavy also. That's another thing. Some people go bowling and they want to show off and they're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm strong. I'm a fuerte. I'm going to get a 15-pound ball. But you don't want a 15-pound ball. You want like a 12-pound ball. You can manage it. Sometimes 10 if it's later in the game, your arm's getting a little tired. 10, 11, 12, that's where I live.
This is what I do, Billy. I go heavy ball for the first roll to take out as much. And then light ball for the dexterity to get those, you know.
But it feels too light afterwards, I mean.
No. You just got to keep you got to keep moving back and forth so that you always get used to one and not the other. But here's the thing that I love to do. I don't know if you guys do this. When your opponent bowls, and they've got like one pin left and it's kind of shaking and it's clear that it's not going to fall and they turn around and walk away. I like to put it, look at it. And they turn around and think it fell. I love doing
think
that.
Think it fell?
I love doing that.
Do you guys ever, when you have like one pin left and you're trying to get that spare and you throw the ball and you know that the bowling ball is going to hit it. So you start to walk back to the rest of the people before it even hits.
Yeah, the no-look walk back. Yes. Yeah, I do that on the putting greens as well. Yeah.
That follow you ever do the finger gun? You shoot down the pin as you're walking away? Because you know that thing's donezo. Mm-hmm.
You blow some
smoke. How do you guys feel about
the shot in... toughest shot in bowling is the single pin spare, am I right?
Yeah, you know, oh, you're not lying.
No, what about when you have two pins, but one's right behind one?
Ooh, tough.
And you go at it, and you're going right at it, and then it peels off to the side, so you only get one of the two
pins. You didn't even see it. It was hiding back there.
Worst. Mm-hmm.
I thought you said already the 7-10 split was the hardest shot in bowling. There is nothing harder than the 7-10 split.
No, I'm not saying it's harder than that. I'm saying it's the worst when you have those behind each other pins, and then you only get one of the two.
What are the physics on that? How is it possible to hit a pin and for it to jump sideways? I shot you in the front. Why are you jumping to the side? Why don't you fall backward and hit your buddy?
Zagaki.
How do you guys feel about the ball that goes into the lane and then or into the gutter and then hops out and hits a pin? I say that should be fair game.
Put those on the poll, okay? The ball that pops in and out of the gutter and hits a pin, should that be fair game? And also, are you a fancy pants if you throw a curve in bowling?
Billy, that's kind of like going out of bounds in football and coming back into the field of play. I'm not certain how I feel about going into the alley, then coming, jumping back into the lane and knocking some pins down.
It's okay if you
reestablish
yourself.
I think once you're in the alley, you're in the alley.
You have to reestablish yourself.
The gutter, I'm sorry. Yeah. Once you're in the gutter, you should be in the gutter.
Also, bumper bowling scores don't count towards your records, all right? Let's just get clear right now.
Love
bumper
a little bowling. Zigzag. Oh, come love on. A zigzag bowl where you just bang it up against the bumpers.
What about granny style?
Ooh, that counts. Style. That counts, But if you have one of those racks, that doesn't count either. You just put it on the rack and push it down, it doesn't count.
When you guys roll, some people do this thing where they roll the ball, but they don't roll it. They throw it, and it flies in the air and lands in the middle of the lane and then rolls down. Some people, it's from the point of release. It's on the ground the whole time. Hmm. What do you guys do?
Jerk move is the guy that throws it half the lane.
Right. Not
jerk
a good move. Bowler either. Right.
Always like a strong guy wants to show how strong he is.
I think Billy and Greg need to play, right, with stakes. Do they not?
Well, I think Amin thinks he's the best bowler amongst us.
I want in on this game.
I don't think Amin did that at all.
Oh, no, I'm telling you, he does.
Okay, but we've got it.
He's on brand for Amin to hype himself up in any sort of competition and fail spectacularly.
But what would the stakes need to be? What would Amin, there would be a lot of drinking that night. If we were to make it Chris and Greg and Billy and Amin.
I'd like to do this as teams where those guys are captains and they choose teams. Oh, wow. We all go out to a bowling alley together. It'd be such a great night of fun for all of us.
Can we make it a pentathlon? Because I want to include shuffleboard in there. Then we just need to find three other old sports.
Sugats is the king of making plans he's going to bail on.
Oh my God.
It's never going to happen.
God. Why would you do this to yourself? Just put it on other people.
You showed up at my wedding and brushed your teeth next door. No one can trust you to get to anywhere.
But I showed up. Can we do this up by my house?
You're your own worst enemy.
Do you have a bowling alley?
I don't know. Do we? You tell me, Chris.
Unfinished ideas are Stugatz' strength. I will say the last time I was at a bowling alley, it was many years ago. There was a lot of drinking involved. I was wearing a leather jacket, and at one point I decided to like run down the lane and see if I could crash into all the pins with my shoulders. But because I was wearing a leather jacket, I stuck like a javelin.
What?
And I never got. I never,
you didn't really think that one through,
I know,
huh?
I didn't. I thought for some reason I was going to slide with a leather jacket, and I just stuck. And so
leather jacket.
Yeah.
What a drunkard.
It was one of the dumbest
inappropriate behavior.
Like a walk of shame back across the alley.
I
like,
can imagine.
Sometimes you can pretend you crossed the line by accident, and that's why your ball went flying halfway down the lane and hit the thing. But you can't exactly. Whoops! I slipped 40 feet into the middle of the lane.
Your face made the sound of a sneaker at Cameron Indoor.
Biggest scam, bowling shoes.
Oh, the whole thing. It's
worst.
All overpriced.
No, but I'm saying bowling, the idea that I need special shoes, like my sneakers are going to somehow ruin their beautiful parquet. No, man. Like, bowling shoes are a complete sham. They don't do anything. They don't protect anything. They're just another way for them to make money.
And the technology plus aesthetic has not evolved in my lifetime. I haven't seen a nice bowling shoe.
No, they're
not.
Seen
the if next you buy evolution. Your own, you could get some. You could get some. None of the ones you rent, though. Greg, how about this for an underrated feeling in bowling? A good slide on the wood in the bowling shoe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. That's why the bowling shoe is needed. It's paramount because it allows you to slide. If you go in dress shoes or bowling sneakers, they stick. You can't get that beautiful slide.
Do you guys kick out the leg? There's nothing like a good leg.
Oh, yeah.
My dad over-exaggerates the entire process. He holds arm for like the entire
you
shot.
You have to. You have
after
to.
After he bowls with his right arm, after his right arm releases the ball, he like does this thing with his right arm that it bounces up.
You got to. You got
yes.
to. Let me ask you a question, Chris Cody. When you go to play golf, do you hold it after you shoot? After you take a shot, you hold
the forearm? I Tiger twirl it, yeah.
When you swing in baseball, do you follow through? Same with bowling.
Of course.
Same with bowling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The follow through is paramount in bowling. You have to have it. That's part of the shot is the follow through. Your work's not done when the ball leaves
your
hand.
What's your follow through?
If you don't have a follow through,
what is your follow through?
It's like a free throw. You have to have the rest.
Do you swing your right leg behind your left leg, Greg, and do you pose at the end with your follow through?
Yes, I do.
Can he show us? Why don't you show? Why don't you lower the camera a little and show us your bowling motion?
I mean, I can try.
Yeah, you can do it.
Okay, this is wrought with peril here. The idea that Chris is now
be careful.
Yes,
not a ton of room.
He's going to pull out his back.
Mike is talking about your hip, not the camera.
Oh, the shorts are back.
What are those?
Oh, the same shorts he's been wearing for a month.
Oh, he's going.
Here it is.
Oh wow, look at the arm out.
Go ahead. Oh, the arm out. Look at this.
Oh,
beautiful
strike.
Lift.
Yes.
Yes. He raises the leg behind him. It is athletic. It is graceful. It is loaded up and soaked in beer. And it's something that must become a competition soon that Stugatz will not attend. Amin, Greg Cody, Billy, and Chris Cody. I think that is the group that needs to play against each other. What would the teams be? Chris, would you be down for father-son? Is that or is Amin going to be the anchor on everybody here?
I don't think they want that father-son noise.
No one wants Amin on their team. Amin was not bragging. Stugatz dragged him in to this competition by saying that he claiming that Amin would be better than everybody.
We've got Witty on play-by-play. He's got the play-by-play chops. Didn't you just do a preseason MLS? God, I felt so bad for you over the weekend. How did Real Salt
that
look?
We need to do that. Play-by-play by Chris Whittingham.
I like Greg Cody and Chris being the captains, Chris doing the play-by-play.
Stugatz doing color for Witty.
Yeah, but I want to bowl, man. I'm a good bowler. Listen, I'm going to say it. I'm the best bowler amongst us, okay?
Whoa!
I am.
Yeah.
We'll never know. I mean, look how bored the reaction was. Okay, great. And now we'll never prove it because Stugatz will never show up to the things where it would be proven.
I can't even fake a reaction at this point because of how unreal this whole thing is.
Why don't you guys come up to me? No one's ever been to my house. I'm always coming down here.
The only time I ever see you outside of this place is I have to go up to you.
Yeah. Well, we have great times every time you come up.
Yeah, we do. We do.
I'd like to see Dan come up once in a while.
Remember that time we played golf?
Yeah.
And we went to the Devil's Island?
Yeah, yeah. And you stuck a driver. It's the greatest shot I've seen in golf history. I mean, Mike pulls out a driver.
Oh, man.
The 11th hole, Parkland Golf and Country Club, Devil's Isle. I mean, listen, this will frighten some of the greatest golfers in the history of the game. Mike pulls out the driver, okay? And he sticks it. It's a 132-yard shot. Mike is 11 inches from the cup. I could tell that story 10 more times.
6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
You know who's a hell of a bowler is Uncle Dick Cody.
Oh yeah,
sure.
He indoctrinated me into bowling. He throws a backup ball. You guys know what a backup ball is?
No.
He's a right-handed bowler, but his ball actually has a left to right movement.
What?
So it comes into the left side of the head pin, which is very unusual.
You ever throw the overhand where you palm it and you go wrist out like that and
Some
top spin?
It's a good way to get hurt.
You know, no, he seems to release it regularly, but then it's just got that weird backup movement. It's crazy. He's very good. My brother's probably a little bit better than me.
You say that, but he probably hasn't bowled in like 7 years.
I could probably beat him 4 out of 10 games.
There you go. It's like riding a bike, Chris.
It really is.
Do you guys use
You can bowl
that?
For the first time in 20 years and you pick it right back up.
Yeah, give everybody a game and then game two it's on.
So you, guys use, you guys use that little air conditioning thing? Get your fingers right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to get your fingers
right. Yep, that's part of impressing the crowd.
No clue what that does, but it looks good.
No, it dries your hand.
I thought that video that I sent you, Sugats, of Bryson teeing off.
Yeah, it looks like he's doing cocaine. I mean,
dude, seriously. How, that was crazy. What is he doing? Vijay Singh is next to him just like, what is this guy doing?
He's moving so fast. Yeah.
Well, what was that?
That was Crocodile Hunter, I think.
Steve Irwin?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Vijay Singh is from Fiji.
Did you just do a Vijay Singh accent? Is that he what did. Just made an appearance? Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Let's all do our Vijay Singhs.
Well, no, I think it's a bad idea. I think it's generally a bad idea, which is why Amin called you on it. You shouldn't be doing Vijay Singh impersonations.
Yeah, Chris.
Had to differentiate the voice from what Bryson was doing.
You made him Crocodile Dundee. You made him Australian.
The watch. I'm going to look up, see what he sounds like. I bet you it wasn't that off.
It was way off because he doesn't. He's not Australian, Chris.
I do like your ability to not say, you know what? Maybe I was wrong. Just like, I'm going to look it up.
Completely undeterred. I love it. All right, let's all do our Vijay Singhs. Let's all do our Vijay Singhs.
It was such a good one. It was classic deflection. You guys think this is... I love it twofold, right?
Let me hear your Vijay.
I love it because clearly we won't have a Vijay Singh, but also I doubly love it because none of us are dumb enough to try and do a Vijay Singh.
Listening to some of the interviews, it's not that bad. It is kind of like an English accent.
Let me hear.
No, but you just can't be impersonating a black person as a white person. You can't be impersonating. It just becomes...
It's not all about race, Dan.
It's just an impersonation.
I say this.
I mean, is that not why you objected to it? Was that not what you were doing there?
I objected to it because it was terrible.
Oh, my God. I'm listening to him talk. It's not that bad, actually. I'm rolling on this clip. I'm going to get you guys a clip.
Okay. I say this operating from a point of ignorance, and that's never a great preamble for everything, but Dan just casually referred to Vijay Singh as black, and I don't think we can do that.
He's a person of color.
Yeah, now who's stepped
in? He's an islander.
Is that a fine? Or? Wow, Chris, it was pretty good. I mean, it was.
Classic thing. Everyone jumps down Chris's throat. Chris is the idiot.
I haven't heard Vijay talking
all
a while.
Right. It's fine. Bunch of sheep you are.
Sheep.
Hey, listening audience, it's Mike Ryan. And you're a sports fan if you're listening to this show. Well, that's up for debate. You may not know this, but Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, that's key, and their low-price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. I was actually in Baltimore last season, always wanted to check out that ballpark, and I actually went to the Game Time app to actually see exactly what I was dealing with, and on top of that, I got a killer deal. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
There are a handful of sports related things I want to get into. Want to get Stugatz's reaction to Sam Darnold being traded. Anytime a quarterback is traded, that becomes something that a lot of people are talking about. Aaron Rodgers was apparently excellent on Jeopardy. He prepared for it, tried really hard, and tells Pat McAfee that he'd actually like to be the host. And he was trolled at the end by a contestant. It was funny, who didn't have an answer for a question and said, hey, who decided to kick that field goal in the championship game?
He's such a natural at it. He was so good. But, you know, I can hear Green Bay local radio, if he decides to do both, being angry at Aaron Rodgers for not focusing on football. Like, I can hear that.
He's got so much time to do both at the exact same time because he's got an off season. He's like, I work like 100 days out of the year.
Did you guys really think he was good?
I did, yeah.
I thought he was good.
Is it just because he was Aaron Rodgers?
Maybe.
I think he could. I don't think he's bad, but he could use some work. He needs a little more. You need some more. I don't want to say charisma, but you need a little more energy when you're going to be a game show host. Even in Jeopardy, he's a little too, and I know this is odd coming from me, a little too monotone
But it wasn't Trebek, though? You thought energy when you thought Trebek? I don't think of that show and game show energy.
He had a certain je ne sais quoi, Dan.
He did, yeah.
He had a comfort level, and I think that'll come with time. It'll be interesting to see if... Well, they tape all of these in like 2-day portions, so I'm not sure how much confidence can grow taping to taping, but I think he's got a pretty high ceiling if he gets a little bit more chummy. He did seem a little stiffer than he is usually, because those are obviously massive shoes to fill, but I think that he's got a future there. It'd be an interesting hire.
I actually believe that the perfect host for Jeopardy is LeVar Burton from Reading Rainbow and Star Trek. I think he would be the perfect host for that show.
Is he on the docket as being given a tryout? Because I know that they've been trying out prospective hosts. Dr. Oz, God, I hope they don't do that. Dr. Oz.
You don't want to follow the. You don't want to be the guy who follows the guy. Like, that's not. You've heard the story.
If
you've
been girl that follows the guy.
Yeah, if you've been listening around here for a while, you know that Dan Patrick has told us the story of he was asked to replace Bob Barker, but it was a weird phone call because I think you guys don't realize how these old-timey shows, how a little bit sad they are. Like, Sajak tapes all of these in a warehouse somewhere, and he, like, cranks out 40 of them in 9 days.
But he looks so happy.
I mean, he's a great game show host, but I imagine that Jeopardy can be in a sad warehouse. And it's an artifact from a different time. And so Dan Patrick told us that they offered him Price is Right. And he said, okay, but how much, you know, like, what's the money? And they're like, well, we'll tell you after you tell us whether you'll take the job or not. And he's like, I'm not taking a job that way. And then they just moved on. And then he later learned it's $10 million a year. They just weren't going to negotiate because they were an old-timey television show.
Big mistake. He moved on to Sports Jeopardy. I mean, and that lasted a season.
I was just going to ask if he regrets it because, I mean, Drew Carey, everybody knows Drew Carey now. And Drew Carey was Drew Carey before he was on The Price is Right. Now he's Drew Carey, Dan.
I would love my
DC.
I would love to call both Pat Sajak. I would like to call Pat Sajak. I would like to talk to some people about what it is like to host these game shows.
You know who would be a great host for Jeopardy? Stu Gatz.
Yep.
Yes.
He would 100%. Be awesome at it because he does the little small talk in the middle.
Yep.
And that's the big part about hosting Jeopardy.
Very chummy.
It's just.
Yeah.
No, it's but that's the part that needs to be done, right? You got to go and ask a couple questions.
Can I just say this? That's by far the worst part of Jeopardy. Like, when they run out of time for the questions because we had to do some chit-chat with a software engineer from Indianapolis, it is the worst.
Yeah.
Can we get to all the questions?
Oh, my God.
$800 ancient literature, please.
You don't want to know? I like the chit-chat. You don't want to know about the contestants?
Exactly.
I mean, no, I don't care about them at all.
They're trying to humanize them like they do in Kong and Godzilla with
Chris,
the dialogue.
That's how we fell in love with Ken Jennings.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
No, we fell in love with him because he was there for 79 straight shows.
Yeah. Well, that's how long it took us to learn about him, because this Trebek was all business and he didn't want to. I'm just going to say it right now. Alex Trebek didn't care about the contestants.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
Too soon.
Too soon. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Did Alex Trebek care about the contestants?
Bit of a me, man.
I'll go down
Alex Trebek, you made him a bald one.
Yeah, I'll go down that road with you, Billy. He cared more about the questions and the game than he did about the people playing
and
the
him.
Game.
And him.
And himself, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always knew the answers before the contestants.
Mike, would you do me a favor, as I try to dabble in some Paul Pierce talk here, would you do me the favor of just, with Chris Whittingham now, getting me in the philosophers category, just the names of five philosophers so that we can see what Stu Gatz trying to host one of these would be, the pronunciations. Like, can you imagine Stu Gatz? He'd be great at the chummy. He wouldn't be great at pronouncing some of the words put in front of him.
Make sure Yogi Berra's on that list. Great philosophers of all time.
Paul Pierce is let go, one would assume, by Disney, even though it has been framed as a mutual parting of ways. Paul Pierce was laughing last night. Dave Portnoy ended up saying, and this was not surprising, hey, call me, because Paul Pierce now is too hot for ESPN and can have a broadcasting career somewhere else, because he is, as we pointed out yesterday, the rare Hall of Famer who will say some stuff. And even if it's dumb stuff, he will say stuff. Usually, the broadcasters that ESPN gets that are Hall of Famers are not Hall of Fame broadcasters. They have to make a trade for the Emmett Smiths of the world. Jerry Rice, never been interesting, but he got up there and would talk for a long time and wouldn't say anything. Not good at broadcasting. Randy Moss has been pretty good at broadcasting, but I was hoping that Randy Moss would be more Randy Moss during broadcast. He doesn't provide those viral moments. So when ESPN has a Hall of Fame broadcaster, it's usually somebody who's a below average broadcaster. But Paul Pierce is now going to be able to get another job, is he not?
100%. Paul Pierce is, well, he's a Hall of Fame player, as you just pointed out. I don't think he's a bad broadcaster. I think he's a good broadcaster. I think Paul Pierce, and listen, it was fairly obvious that Paul Pierce didn't mind being released by ESPN because his response was laugh out loud funny. Him laughing and you being able to see little portions of his house and him telling you, hey, I'm good over here where I am. But yeah, why wouldn't Paul Pierce be good at something like podcasting or radio? I think he'd be excellent at it.
I think Paul was actually a pretty good broadcaster.
That's what I'm saying.
I think people lose the idea of why we have those guys in those positions there. We have former players there, not to give us like high level X's and O's stuff. We have them there because they have stories that are applicable to many of the things that are happening when a team is going through turmoil, when a star player is on a really, really bad team. And Paul had a lot of those stories, and he's a great storyteller. So I've never had a problem with that. The other thing also, people ridicule Paul for what he said about Dwayne Wade, saying that, man, if I played with Shaq and LeBron, I'd have three titles as well. But my thing was, if you think that was ridiculous, you just don't know basketball players. Because I guarantee you 90% of retired players who were good are saying the same thing. They just don't say it out loud because they do the boring thing that Dan always rails about, is just being safe and saying kind of safe things. What Paul said, I'm not saying he was right, but I'm saying that is the most authentic communication of what players actually think that I've heard on air.
Andrew Marchand reported that Paul Pierce wasn't actually going to be let go by ESPN if all of that had been filmed without his knowledge, if it had been something that had leaked on the internet, but that what he was let go for, why they parted ways, wasn't the fact that that was on camera. It's that he chose to put it on camera, which I thought was an interesting distinction, because Mike Ryan was saying yesterday, well, what has he done here that's against policy specifically? Where in the policy does it say that you can't air a poker game that has exotic dancers writhing around on the floor when they are clothed?
So if he was caught in that exact same situation, he'd still have a job at
that's
ESPN?
That's the distinction. Weird. Andrew Marchand is saying of the New York Post is the one that was made with Paul Pierce, that it's not the doing of it, because they can't really police your moralities at home. This thing is, can you, I just want again to go back to this and just point out, I'd love to see the faces specifically on the people who have to make this decision, having worked with them and knowing that their sensibilities do not reside in where it is that Paul Pierce was showing you what his Friday night looks like. That's not what Friday night looks like in many places in Bristol. And so I would love to know what the conversations looked like on policy, on this is a bad look for us, but now how do we explain to people that this needs to be punished without welcoming more and more trouble? So it becomes parted ways, and basically it's just because you don't want Disney this close to the exotic dancers.
Time to throw away all journalistic credibility and get reckless. Here is something we like to call reckless speculation.
I cannot be judged for this take. This is just me speculating. Paul Pierce, I don't think, was fired for this incident. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know how many times they've kept something private in regards to Paul Pierce. My guess is ESPN has just generally been worried about Paul Pierce's judgment for quite some time. And this was confirmation that he cannot be trusted. So while this seems like a very stiff penalty for this one specific incident, it might actually just be confirmation bias, and it was time.
You're good.
Greg Cody, do you have any thoughts on this matter?
I don't know that it was a firing offense. I think ESPN could have turned it into a positive by being playful about it on the air, by having Rachel Nichols make a couple of jokes. You know, if Paul Pierce is really good at what he does on the air, it's not a firing offense. If he's, like Mike suggested, if he's a borderline guy who you were looking to get rid of anyway, it's a firing offense. So
but he
I don't
was
know
good
how
on the
ESPN
air.
Felt
but
about
he,
Paul
he
Pierce,
was but, good on the air, though. We just got done, I think, coming to the consensus agreement that as it regards Hall of Famers at ESPN, usually what ends up happening is to get somebody who has those credentials in sports, they aren't very good at broadcasting. Paul Pierce is an above average broadcaster. Paul Pierce makes for moments because he's willing to be on the wrong end of the mockery that comes when he says, I would have won the championships that Dwayne Wade did, or I could have been this compared to LeBron, when they bury him because they have a great deal of fun burying him all the time, and he takes it. Very few Hall of Famers have that kind of thick skin.
Time to throw away all journalistic credibility and get reckless. Here is something we like to call reckless speculation.
You get
Paul Pierce did it on purpose.
Oh, wow, that's a good reckless speculation right there. Wanted to go out in a hail of controversy because he texted out or he tweeted out good morning at 7 o'clock the next day. So it's not like he was filled with remorse. And my guess is the calls were already coming in from Bristol. You shouldn't have done that. And last night he just his only message was not a word. It was just laughing on his it was simply laughing in front of his house.
That's the truth.
Did you think that was funny?
Yeah.
Because it's his nickname.
Oh, that's clever.
We've done that like five times in
that's
the last...
why we did it, to annoy you.
Eyebrow.
For that
what?
Dan, are you surprised? Bullshit. Are you surprised that the Barstool people said, hey, Paul, it's time to join the pirate ship, and they weren't talking about us. They referred to themselves as a pirate ship.
Yeah, I saw that tweet.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to make of it. I never – this might be ignorance on my part. I didn't know that Barstool referred to itself as a pirate ship. It seemed a little coincidental, quite honestly. But, you know, we could be referring to ourselves as a pirate ship, not knowing that Barstool's referred to it as
so
a pirate ship.
So we're wondering who referred to themselves as a pirate ship first?
It was just curious timing because...
Well, it was the Pirates, I think, because Adam Carolla, I've gotten Adam Carolla's fans telling us he's been a pirate ship for 9 years. We just wanted to put two eye patches on Stugatz's dumb face. Like, that's all. Yeah. That's it. That's all we wanted to do.
His character's an idiot, so. two eye patches.
Oh, that's why.
Yes.
I have handed Stugatz a list of Jeopardy philosophy questions. Ooh. And he is now going to read them, potentially, as Alex Trebek.
Oh, give him a chance to read. We'll start.
When this philosopher died around 347 BC.
Hang on.
Yeah, wait. Hang on. And you need contestants to get to know Stugatz.
I think I'd be good at this. Though.
Hang on. Yeah. All right, hang on. We're going to start with an update, and then we'll do this. It's your last 5 minutes, and then we'll welcome in Ron McGill, and that'll be hour two. You ready on changing of reels?
All right, so this is
hour one.